Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Well, this is good. It's really exciting because the things the Lord spoke to us this morning and the prophetic words are all along the same line as what I'm going to share with you as well. So I want to as your pastor and position us in a church in this couple of days of transition, I want to position you as we enter into 2014 for a year of just unprecedented. Let's speak ridiculous things over this year. Let's proclaim just crazy things over this year. Let's not speak fear, doubt, and unbelief, but let's speak the glory of God over this year. Amen. All right, we're going to start here, 2014. Now listen, Jeremiah 29:11. It's a good verse. How many people know that verse? You love that verse? I like it especially. I like the way the New International Version lays it out. I like the way it says it. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." How many know the Lord says, "I know"? I know what I got in store for you. The Lord knows. The Lord's like, "I don't know what's happening this year, man. I have no idea. Hope it's good." But the Lord says, "I know. I know the plans I have." You say plans. How many of you guys have plans? How many making plans? See, Werner Duver's a financial planner. He says, you need to make financial plans. You need to have plans. But you know what? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Amen? He says, I got plans for you. And look what he says. He says, they are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God has plans for you, and his plans are to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. Say amen to that. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're entering into 2014 on our calendar, and yet on the Jewish calendar, September 4th, we entered into a new year, September 4th of 2013. So we're kind of moving in that year as well. So the year of our Lord, the year 5774 on the Jewish calendar is what we stepped into back in September 4th. So we're kind of enjoying that year, and we're walking in that year, but we kind of recognize the year of our Lord, and this is our calendar, and so we see this as a transition for us, but we're already stepping into the blessing of God. And that whole aspect of 5774, the 70 and then the 4, we are in the 70, the year of the 70s, and the year of the 70s is a year of seeing, and it's a year of progressive seeing. And it means that in this whole decade, there's a progressive seeing deeper and deeper and being moved deeper into the things of God. It's also a year, and we're 4 years away from 78, and 78 is the 70 of when Israel became a nation, and there's something significant about that in God. And in this 4, what we are stepping into in the 4 that leads to the 8, this is the year of the open door. And the 70 is a seeing, and it's like the letter is like it's like two eyeballs. And it's these eyeballs, and they're seeing, and the 70s seeing all the way through this decade, a progressive unveiling of the purposes of God, aggressively. And the 70s that are in the Bible, this 70 is very significant, and this 70 has significant prophetic meaning. But we are in the year 4 years before that, and the 4 is like a tent. It's like a tent with the door open. And it's got this openness now. So the Lord is saying, see, this is a year of the open door for you. And that's what the Lord was saying to us this morning. He said, I want you to see. I want to give you progressive revelation. I want you to see that this is the year, literally, where now it is an open door for you. You're stepping into, and you need to step into it because it can be positive or negative. You can step back into the tent. Like Abraham was in a pup tent and he said, God, where's the promise? I mean, I'm frustrated. What's going on? And the Lord came and he said, come out of your tent. And he opened the door and he brought him out. It's like the tent opened and he came out. And you see this, if you will come out this year, you will see the divine providence of God. So it's a year of where the open door, and it's a year of where limitations and restrictions have been there before. This is the year that the door opens. This is the year that the limitations are removed. This is the year where the boundaries are taken off, and you are invited now to see and perceive and to pass through into this openness that God has for you. He's going to bring about the promise in your life. This is a year of the open door, and you're going to progress. This year, the next year, the year after, it's a year of progression into the full manifestation of the maturity of God. Settle down. It's true, too. It's really true. And it's also on the Hebrew calendar, it's a leap year. It is. It's a leap forward year. So just stand up. Just stand up right now. Everybody stand. You ready? Just waiting on a few, because there are a couple of people were napping there. They go, what's going on? Is he closing in prayer? Hallelujah. Are you ready? So you got to stand back as far as you can against the chair, because I want you to go forward, all right? So I don't want you just to jump. Who wants to? I'm right where I was. Well, this is a year of leaping forward. This is a year where it's not going to be a normal year. It's going to be a year of leaping. It's a year of acceleration. It's a year of leaping over things. Things that took 20 steps before will only take one. It's a leaping year. It's a year of acceleration. It's a year of abundance, and it's a year of favor. And we individually and corporately are stepping into a year of unprecedented success, blessing, and increase. And so just as a very simple prophetic act, we're going to leap. We're going to leap together. So we have to do this. It'll be a supernatural miracle. So put your feet, if you're still in your pew, put your feet or legs right back against the back of that chair so you can feel the chair behind you. And I want you to go as far forward as you can without hurting yourself. All right? You ready? One, two, three, leap. Oh! Wow. That was good. I felt like I had rocket propellers on me right there. That was awesome. All right, you can sit down right now. How many felt that? How many felt that in the spirit? How many felt the breakthrough right there? Whoa! Glory to Jesus. All right. So that's what it is. That's what's happening. That's what this year's all about. And you know, if I could pick a verse for this year, it really is, because of the calendar year, the Hebrew calendar and our calendar, it really is the year of Revelation 3:8. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Say amen. Even if you don't know what's going on, say amen. Even if you're not feeling anything, just say amen. You know why? Because amen says, so be it. Amen says, I don't get it, but I'll have some. Amen says, come forth, creative realm, and make that word happen in my life. Amen. Amen. We got Ruth over there. Ruth turned 90, and listen to her. She's still lost in the spirit. Listen, she got the glory on her. Hallelujah! She's just having a glory time. It's awesome, I'm telling you. My goodness, whatever she's having, you say, I'll have some too. All right. Amen. Amen. All right, Michael Zigarelli. Michael Zigarelli, he's a professor at the Charleston Southern School of Business. And he polled more than 20,000 Christians of all ages in 139 countries. And he polled them about busyness in their lives and how it affects their relationship with God. Almost 6 out of 10 Christians around the world feel that their hectic schedule prevents them from spending more time with God. That's right. Hey, change your schedule. Just stop it. Do something. I'm challenged. You know, I'm challenged this time of year. You know why I'm challenged this time of year? There's so many bowl games on TV and... I mean, right now you got hockey, you got basketball, you got football, I got college football, I got college basketball. I am just being bombarded. The temptations that are upon me. Thank God for PVR. The only problem is I can PVR more. I can watch one PVR, one watch one PVR two. I got a PVR upstairs, so I can PVR 4 ball games at one time. Then it's finding the time. Thank God for fast forward, though, because you can fast forward through them now. Did you know that he found out in his study? Here's what he found out. The group of people that responded and said they are the busiest and have the hardest time finding time for God. You know what that group was? Guitar players? No, it wasn't them, no. Retired people? No. Pastors. That's kind of why I read it, because I was like, my God, that's pretty shocking. You know, so I said, that's ridiculous. So maybe I got to knock off a bowl game or two. But maybe let's do that in the new year. Let's get through. You know, let's pray for the Cowboys today. They need to beat the Eagles. Anyways, that was just a little sideline. Cowboys, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You know, so, amen. Thank you. Got some Cowboys fans. All right. The prophetic people. Eagles. No, stop it. All right. Yeah. All right. Billy Graham said, heaven is full of answers. Heaven is full of answers. You ever heard of those people who've been to heaven? And several people, completely independent experiences, went to heaven. Several of them saw the same thing. They were taken into large warehouses where there were body parts all there. And when they asked Jesus, what's that all about? And he says, these are all unclaimed promises. These are all unclaimed blessings. How many want to empty that warehouse once and for all? My God. Send them on down. Send them on down. Lord, let the body parts come on down. Send them on down. Send them on down. Lord, let the body parts come on down. I got it. Oh, I got it. Okay. Anyways, that was a good gospel song. I love that one, don't you? It's good. Amen. You two looking at me kind of funny today. You guys kind of bewildered. All right. Don't be talking while I'm preaching. I'll quiz you in the car. All right. All right. Heaven is full of answers for which no one even bothered to ask. Isn't that terrible? You ever found out you could have helped somebody, but they never asked? You ever found out that somebody was in a situation, they needed something, and you could have done it? You ever heard that somebody took 14 buses to get to church, and you went right by their house, you could have picked them up, but they never asked? I know some people are just too proud to ask for help sometimes, aren't they? Don't be like that with God. Billy Graham, he said, heaven is full of answers. I am the Lord that hears and answers prayer. I mean, he gives us his name. Who are you, Lord? I'm the God who hears and answers prayer. I am the God who answers. There are answers there for which no one bothered to ask. F.B. Meyer said the greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. And that is really it. Sometimes we are just not asking God. How many want to ask God more this year? Let it be a year of asking. Ridiculous asking, bigger asking. Put a big thing right on the dashboard of your car, or right on your mirror where you brush your teeth, and just say, ask for more stuff today. You know, just put it somewhere. Say, come on, I'm going to do that. How many are actually going to do that right now? You feel that? It's a suggestion, isn't it? I have to do it. I don't like putting things on my window. Do it! Ask the Lord for more. I really believe that our lives would change, that we'd see things happen if we'd ask more. We'd ask the Lord for more. So we're going to have 10 days of prayer and fasting of everything except sports. Now we are January the 1st. We're going to start a season of prayer and fasting. Now, you don't have to fast, you know, cheesecake or whatever. You know, you choose what it is you want to fast. Lord may take you into a complete fast. I don't know. Maybe he'll challenge you just for a couple days. Maybe he'll say fast lunch. Maybe, you know, somewhere else he's going to touch you. But we're going to step into 10 days. 10 days. 10 is a test. 10 is a thing. You know, we're going to put this church on a test. We're going to go 10 days where we're going to pray for 10 days together, and we're going to fast something. Ask the Lord something. You know, if you say, I could never fast food, hallelujah, maybe you should. But you let the Lord put something on your heart that you're going to set aside, because I've been too busy. Somewhere in there, you've been pushed out. So many of these people saying they don't have time for God. Well, get rid of something. Just even for 10 days, I'm going to get rid of something, and I'm going to give this time to God. And we're going to have a blog on our website. So you can go to the website first thing in the morning. There's going to be a little teaching from me and some prayer directives. And I want you to interact with it. I want you at the bottom, write things down and say that you're praying with me. Tell me the things that you're asking, and we'll agree together. And we're going to have 10 days of prayer beginning January 1st to January 10th. And January the 8th, all of us are going to be where? Really? Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to be here. We're going to be here January the 8th, 7 o'clock. We're going to pray together. We're going to declare ridiculous things over this year. So that's something we want to do. Also, something else coming up in the new year. You're going to receive emails from right now, and they're going to be emails from me. We're going to have leadership blogs. We're going to have leadership posts, leadership training posts that are going to come to you. They're going to be in the form of little video teachings and things. And there's a test. There's answers and things you have to do. We want to increase our leadership culture here, and we need to increase our leadership base here. We are looking for leaders. And this is how I'm looking for leaders. I'm going to be sending out posts to everybody, and I want you to engage those posts. And if you feel you need to stir up and fan into flame a leadership gift or a calling or a purpose in your life, then I need you to engage that. Here's what you tell me if you don't engage that. I have other priorities right now, and this is okay. It's all totally okay. But you're saying, I'm not interested in really engaging that leadership track right now, which is completely okay. But that is what you are going to tell me if you don't engage that. So 6 years from now, don't come to me and say, I had a real leadership gift that you never used. I never used it because you were never willing. So God uses those who are willing and those who are obedient, and they're the ones who came and got involved. So we want to use all the gifted, but you got to show me you're gifted, and I want you to engage. And it's not hard, really. It's really easy. It's an open book test, every single one of them, and you can do it. And many of you have leadership giftings and abilities that need to be brought into manifestation, and you need to scream at me, I got talents and abilities, and I want to help lead in areas in this house. I feel a burden as we grow and we increase. We need to expand our leadership base, and I am in, Pastor. That's what I'm looking for. Can I get a oh my? All right, that was good right there, wasn't it? All right, so be looking. If you don't get something, like in the next couple of weeks, you'll go, hey, Pastor, you don't have my email. What's going on? You shout at me and say, hey, I'm looking to engage. Where's the stuff? And then early in February, we're going to have a Monday night. We're inviting everybody in. We're going to have a leadership powwow and workshop and do some things. And we're going to build a big, massive leadership team around this house because increase is coming. How do you know? I just shouted about it for 5 minutes if you weren't paying attention. All right. Well, I thought you're just, you know, puffing and blowing the house down. Exactly. All right. Okay. Here we go. So number Genesis 1:26. It says here that God is good at delegation, and God has given responsibility of the affairs of earth to man. God is good at delegation. He's given the affairs of the things in earth to man. Turn around and point at a man near you or a woman. Just point at them. Say, you got responsibilities. God created you with purpose, and you got responsibilities. So it says that. We read a passage earlier this morning that declares that. But Genesis 1:26, it says, let's create man in our own image. And the Amplified, it says, let them have complete authority. Not just a little authority, dominion. Let them dominate. Let them have complete authority over the affairs of earth. You, no man or woman ever dominates another human being. You were never given authority for that. But you were given authority over the affairs of earth, the things of earth, over the resources of earth, and you're given authority over the purposes of God in the earth. He said, let them have complete authority. That means if we don't like what's going on down here, that means somebody better step up and say, things are going to change around here. If you don't like things going on in your life, you're not a victim. You're not every day, I hope the day's good. Don't hope it's good. Declare it good. Make it good. Get involved with God and take authority over your own life. It says if a man can't rule his own spirit, you know, he's like a broken city. He's like a city without walls. You need to rule your own spirit. Then you need to rule in the realm of your own life, your own family, your career. You need to then rule. It says when you gain a rulership and responsibility and good stewardship over these different areas of your life, it says then eventually that man can rule and dominate a whole city. You know, God wants you to reign and rule, but you know what? You'll never have the great manifestation of authority in a greater realm or region if you don't begin right with many people still haven't mastered ruling and dominating their own spirit. You ever run into people and they're always broken, they're always complaining, they're always frustrated, they're always going through stuff, and you're like, oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So that was good, Pastor. Appreciate it. Okay. Psalm 115:16. We read it. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Psalm 8:6. You've made them, made man a little lower than God. You made man a little lower than Elohim. Many translations say lower than angels. Brutal translation, because the word is Elohim. Everywhere in the Bible, over 3,700 times for God. But one time, angels, because the translators just couldn't believe that he made us a little lower than God. But he did. He created you in his image, and he created you to reign and rule. He's created you wonderfully and remarkably and amazingly. And it says, you gave man dominion over the works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet. All things, folks. Come on. We've not only been given a responsibility to steward, but we've been given the power and the ability to walk in all that God desires us to do. Can I get a glory to Jesus? All right, let's go to Mark 4:24. Mark 4:24, he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Now, the Lord spoke to us today, and what did he say? You need to be more aware of your hearing. You need to develop your capacity to hear this year, because I'm going to do new things. How many know if God's going to do a new thing, he might speak to you in a different way? God may come a way that you haven't seen before. Remember when God came to them outside the boat? They're like, oh, it's a ghost. And Jesus said, no, it's me. Wow, we've never seen you walk on water before. That's a new thing. You know, sometimes God will come in ways that that's new. I mean, I wasn't expecting that. But the Lord literally said to us today, get your ear tuned. Get your ear to the ground in the Spirit. Get your ear focused and ready, because I'm going to move and I'm going to speak and I'm going to do new things. And I want you to be ready and prepared to engage what I'm doing today. And so Jesus said, be careful. He said, you know, Jesus usually says, fear not, but he does say, be careful. And he says, be careful what you hear. And I love this, because it's not just hear, but be careful what you are hearing. Say hearing. How many know some people hear me right now, but they're not hearing? Some people can hear, but they're not listening. Some people are like the pastors in the background. I spent too much money at Christmas. I'm going to pay that bill. Oh, my goodness. I can hear the pastor in the background. I wonder how long he's going to be. Like, you can hear me in the background, but you're not listening. You're not really hearing. And Jesus said, be careful how you hear and how you are hearing, because the measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Jesus is saying to these guys, and this was in the parable of the soil, in the parable of the 30, the 60, the 100 fold. Jesus said the key to walking in greater realms, the key to experiencing, stepping into greater things, it is all connected to your capacity to hear. So be careful how you are hearing. Hearing. I stopped hearing because I heard enough revelation. So I've had some books and some tapes and some series. No, it doesn't say faith comes by what you heard. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. It's not about what you heard, because God does move. And even God said today, I'm going to move in progressive ways. And you will not be able to say, oh yeah, I knew that. Oh yeah, I knew that was coming. He says, no, I'm going to do new things that will absolutely blow your mind. And literally the Amplified says, you know how they come into manifestation? The Amplified says they come into manifestation through the prophetic word. And that's why it ties up to Acts, where it says that a spirit is going to come upon my sons and my daughters and they will prophesy. And then here's the next word. He says, they will prophesy and I will show. They will prophesy and I will show. When you prophesy, when you get hooked up, when you hear the Lord and you're in tune with the Spirit, the present truth, the preceding word of God, when you prophesy, when you declare, your sons and your daughters prophesy, and the Spirit's being poured out for that right now, they are going to declare the very things of God and they are going to come into manifestation, because you will prophesy and I will show. Settle down. I know it's awesome. I will do it. I will. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight or by our senses. Romans 10:17 says the just, or so then faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. It is faith we walk in. Your walk is determined by your quality of hearing. We have two types of people in the world today. You got the hears and the hear nots. Next week, we're going to have a sign, hears and hear nots, and you can sit. We don't want any hear nots. Amen? Say, I'm not a hear not, I'm a hearer. I'm somebody who's hearing what the Lord is saying today. All right, we're going to jump to Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at a guy named Simeon. Now, this is after the birth of Christ. And that's where we are. We're kind of after the Christmas season. And there's this guy named Simeon. And this guy, an interesting thing about Simeon, his name means hearkening or able to hear. Simeon is someone who his name means hearkening or able to hear. And during the noise of that day, during a oppression and occupation by another government and another ruler, the Roman people dominated their country. So much noise, so many conflicting voices in that day. There was a guy named Simeon who was able to, even amongst all that noise and all those conflicting voices, Simeon was able to tune into heaven, and he knew what God was doing in his neighborhood. Do you know what he's doing? Simeon knew. Simeon didn't miss it. All the leaders of the day, all the religious people, all the people with all those degrees after their name, all other people who should have known what God was doing, none of them knew what was going on. But Simeon knew exactly what God was doing, because Simeon is hearkening. Simeon has the ability to hear. And we need to be a people of Simeon right now, a people who hear what the Lord is saying. And don't you love it? Pulled a muscle there. That's happening in the new year too, stretching. Amen. Don't smile at me like that. I can see that. All right. I can see you while I'm preaching, you know. I think some people think he can't see me and they're tripping out at the back, not paying attention. I can see you. In my mind, my spiritual arms are walking back going, pow, pow, pay attention. How many have had that happen? You just sit there like this and all of a sudden you don't know what it was, but suddenly you got quickened, you woke up, you're paying attention to the pastor. How many have ever had that happen? You didn't know what it was. Something, that was my spiritual hand. It's amazing how they travel. Here, I'm going to send one right now. Oh, you know who you are. All right, okay. Luke 2, 22, 35, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were complete, they brought her to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And it was written, as it was written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, which means this was a first. He was a first. All first things are devoted to destruction. So they had to redeem this child because it was the first child to open the womb of Mary. So they had to devote this child to the Lord. Now you can devote the child to the Lord or you can redeem the child by bringing a sacrifice. That's the same thing with your first fruits of all you receive from the Lord. He is the one who gets all the first fruits. You see, if you don't give him the first fruits, then everything you have is devoted to destruction. But that's another sermon. Anyway, so they did what the law required, and they came and they brought the offering that was necessary, the offering to say, thank you, Father, for opening the womb, because all first things belong to you. Say amen. Amen. That's why you're going to engage this prayer time. That's why you're going to be there on that Wednesday, because all first things belong to God. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. So they did that. Verse 24, and to offer the sacrifice according to what was said in the law, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. There's a really great story in that as well. Don't have time for it right now. 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout. He was just and devout. He was righteous and he was laying hold of God's purpose with everything in him. He understood the purpose of God, and he had laid hold of it with everything. He was righteous, and he had laid hold of God's purposes. Good. I mean, the word of the God, wouldn't you love the word of God to say about you, you're righteous? My goodness, that's not your opinion, my opinion, or Fred's opinion. That's the Almighty. Wow. Wow. He was the just and devout, waiting for the consolation or the comfort of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. How did he come? He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to him, according to the custom of the law, he took him up. I mean, here they are coming just to do their, you know, responsibility according to the law. And all of a sudden, some guy comes racing in and he sees these people. Could have been many other people with babies doing the same things or doing rituals. But this guy sees this child. He says, that's the one. The Holy Spirit woke him up and said, go to the temple now, Simeon. You're going to see the salvation of God. You're going to see the consolation of Israel. Boom! He was up, moved by the Spirit, went to the temple, went, saw, that's him, grabbed the boy, went, woo, I've seen the salvation of God. And what did he see? A baby. But he said, this is it, it's done, I can go home and be with glory now, because God has fulfilled his word. And all he saw was a child. How many know, sometimes you see just a little demonstration, you see just a little manifestation of God's goodness, and you go, is that it? That's all. But you see, he saw the child. He saw the baby. Not a miracle, not anything. Just a little helpless baby. And he said, it's done. I have seen the salvation of God. For my eyes have seen the salvation of God. He said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. According to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Isn't it great? I mean, you gotta figure Joseph. I mean, my goodness, I did have an angelic visitation. I think it was. I hope it wasn't pizza. I'm not sure what happened, but I do believe God said, I'm having the Son of God basically put in my responsibility to raise him. Crazy stuff. And Mary, she's like, I know I got pregnant by God. He told me I would, and I didn't have intimate relationships with any man, not with Joseph. And this is all crazy what we're going through. These two young kids were probably like, what is going on with our lives? How awesome is it that randomly out of nowhere, some old guy comes running in and says, this is the Messiah. Isn't it good to get that encouragement that while you're tracking through the promise of God, I'm caring for the promise of God, but what is it? It is a helpless infant. I right now, nothing has changed in our world except I have had this baby. And a lot of people have called him illegitimate. And I went through a lot of shame and frustration. And thank God for Joseph. He had a vision and a dream too, and he knows it's God's child. But we're carrying the purposes of God right now, and it's very vulnerable, and it's a little bit scary. But it's really great when you're honoring the law and doing what you're supposed to do and just going through the proper motions. But then somebody, God sends somebody through to say, this is the one. He's the Messiah. This is, I have seen the salvation of Israel. You got to figure that they went, whoa, this is pretty awesome stuff. Isn't it good when you're believing for a purpose and you're believing for something big? Isn't it good that in the midst of it and when you're struggling to care for it, it's very small and fragile and you're wondering about it? Isn't it good that somebody comes along for you and says, go ahead. What you got there is the God stuff. It's good stuff. Do it for the honor and glory of God. All right, it's good. I know it's good. You know it's good. Amen. All right. So they marveled, and Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, he said, behold, this child is destined to the fall and the rising of many in Israel, a sign to be spoken against. Well, thank you for that encouraging word. And I'll give you some more encouragement. You ready? A sword will pierce your own soul too. There's going to come a time, Mary, when you're going to have to take your hands off him. It's going to come a time when you're going to have to release this child into his destiny. There's going to come a time when this sword will pierce your own heart. Misunderstanding will come to you. It'll be a difficult thing. But this child is a child that is going to be the Christ, destined for the rise and fall, destined for the glory of God, that the thoughts and hearts of many may be revealed. So Simeon is hearkening and hearing, being able to hear. So God needs someone in every generation, someone who is hearing and declaring his purpose in every generation. God cannot do anything. Listen to me. Listen, it's not even that he cannot. Let me say it this way. He will not. God will not exercise himself in the affairs of the earth by bypassing a man. God will not operate in your life by bypassing you. Oh, God, just change this life, will you? He will partner with you in a transformation, but he will not do it for you. God works with us. God is with us. He doesn't come to dominate, and he doesn't want that. He wants to raise up kings and priests. He wants to raise up a tribe of people who know how to reign and how to rule, not who know how to be dependent and just suckle all the rest of their lives. He wants to raise up a people who know how to reign and rule, not just in this life and in this time, although that is true, but for eternity, we will reign and rule with him. So he's looking for kings and priests. He's not looking for a society of social outcasts who remain on welfare and can barely get their life together. Thank you for that encouraging word, Pastor. But God, in every generation, there was Daniel, Daniel understood the word of the Lord. He read the book of Jeremiah, and he understood it's time to restore the people, and so he began to pray. There was Elijah, when Elijah knew it was time to rain, he said, Ahab, it's going to rain. And what did Elijah do? He went up the hill and he prayed. What are you praying for? Rain. Well, I thought you said it was going to rain. It is going to rain, and I'm praying for rain. There's got to be somebody who hears the heart and mind of God and then embraces that with everything in them and then proclaims that to come into manifestation in their generation. This generation has a now word, a current word, a word that is for today, a word that God wants to birth in the earth, but God cannot do that unless he finds a company that are willing to come alongside of him to listen to him, even if it's something new, even if it's something incredible, even if it's something we've never seen before. God is looking for a people who will tune their ear to heaven and say, willing to declare and be obedient to whatever you say. This was going to be a nice little quiet sermon to the few who showed up between Christmas and New Year's. I tried. I really tried. All right, let me go through this quickly. Are you ready to say quickly, Pastor? Thank you very much. Appreciate that. My wife is timing me, so I have to get on, and my daughter will tell me how long I was immediately after. You have no idea the trials I go through. All right. I asked the Lord to please deal with that in my life. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. So I said, all right. So here, three hindrances, going really quick. Three hindrances. You ready? Three hindrances. Number one, doubt. Listen to what James says. This is, if you want wisdom, anybody needs wisdom, anybody lacks wisdom. Anybody? Is there anybody say, I could use a little more wisdom, heavenly wisdom? Anyone? You know what God says? Ask me and I'll give it to you without finding fault. He's not, oh, I would give you wisdom, but you're an idiot. I'd give you wisdom, but you probably would be careless with it and you'd hurt yourself. No, God says, I'll give you wisdom without finding fault. I'm not critical. I'm not a fault-finding God. Well, God wouldn't give me wisdom. He probably doesn't like me. He loves you. He's nuts about you. And he says he will give wisdom to anyone who asks for wisdom. But it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. No doubting. Because listen to what it says now. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed around by the wind. For let that man, let the one who doubts, let that one not suppose he will receive anything from God. Do you know what? If you have a mixture of doubt and a divided heart, God literally says, not that you won't receive anything, but he says you shouldn't even have the expectation of receiving anything. He says expectation is a waste on you because I will not bless or speak where there's doubt. I didn't say it, he did. You know? So, but what I'm trying to say is, these are hindrances to hearing God. Don't doubt. Does God want to do more for you this year? I'm struggling with that. I don't know. I'm really struggling with that. Don't doubt. Doubt goes, meh, cancel. God's such a meanie. No, he's not. God wants you to grow up. Amen. I don't want you helpless. I want you to partner in these things. So don't doubt. All right, don't doubt. Number two, don't fear. Mark 5, 35, 36, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher? She's dead. It's hopeless. Don't worry about it anymore. Leave the guy alone. Jesus immediately turned to him. As soon as Jesus heard the word was spoken to him, he turned to the ruler and he said, do not fear, only believe. Because, you know, you got a nasty situation. Oh, a few weeks back, maybe you should get the tape when I talked about windy words and I talked about crossing over and I talked about him coming into your storm and how to calm a storm in your life. It was a really good word. Should have bought it for Christmas and given it to all your friends. But I'll tell you something. Right there, he comes and he says, don't be afraid. And Jesus turned to him and said, you're going to have a miracle. Even though your kid is dead, I'm going to restore that child to you. Don't fear. Why? Because fear cancels the promise of God. Number three. And this is the worst of all. Number three, unbelief. Unbelief. Jesus could do no great miracles in his own hometown. It's not that he didn't have the power to do it or the anointing to do it. It's not that he didn't want to do it or wasn't willing to do it. He could not do it. He could not manifest any powerful miracles because the people did not believe he was who he said he was. Couldn't do it. If you've got unbelief, you're not going to see God. Oh, I want to see God touch my life. Hallelujah. But I doubt he will. And I just don't believe he's like that. I don't know, but pray for me anyway. What a waste of breath. Don't doubt, don't fear, and don't walk in unbelief. Hebrews 3, you can read this whole thing yourself, just a couple verses from there. For who having heard, rebelled. Did you know, I know people who hear, and we teach over and over and over again. And they keep on hearing, but they're not listening. And the quality of their hearing is full of mixture of doubt and fear and unbelief. That's why you need to get your ear checked today. And this is a Holy Ghost ear check. And I got the light and I've gone deep into the ear of your spirit right now. And I'm going, come out! Because this is a year of hearing. This is a year of the open door. This is a year of seeing and perceiving and stepping into what God is saying. And I want you to hear properly. For who having heard, rebelled. They heard the promise of God and they wouldn't receive it. Now, these are people who heard the promise. I'm going to bring you in a land of milk and honey. I'm going to bring you into a place where you're continuously blessed. I'm going to bring you into a place where your shoes never wear out, where you partner with me, where we're going to partner and you're going to grow incredible things, where your youth is going to be restored and renewed. It's going to be a... Yeah, I doubt that. Yeah, I don't believe he's that good, dude. And they didn't enter in. They all died in the wilderness. And we got Christians right now dying in a wilderness because they don't believe God's that good. And this is in the new covenant, and he's saying just like they wouldn't enter in, there's people in the new covenant who don't enter into the rest. He says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief, but the word which they heard, it did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith by those who heard it. So you got to hear, and hearing, it's faith, hearing and believing what you're hearing and mixing it with faith and bringing in the manifestation of the word of God. Can I get an amen? All right, so quickly, just some observations from my friend Simeon. Are you ready? Some very basic. I mean, we can give you tons. I can give you sheets full of basic hearing requirements. But I'm just going to give you some out of that little passage from Simeon. And Simeon, his name means hearing. His name means able to hear. Point at your neighbor on purpose, all right? Use your big index finger and point at them right now. Say, you can hear. You can hear. Let me tell you something. Let me speak to every one of you. You may be sitting here going, I can't hear. God never speaks to me. Listen to me. Let me tell you once for all. You can hear. And God speaks to you. He doesn't speak to you like he speaks to me. He speaks to you like he speaks to you. And he speaks your language, and he will speak very clearly. If you ask him to speak to you, he will speak to you. You don't need professional listeners. Well, I don't hear from God. Other people hear for me. I'm deaf in the spirit, so I have hearing believers. So I have other people. I dial 1-800 blah, 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 and they just tell me what God's doing in my life. Prophets are not so that you can get a substitutionary experience with God. Prophets are going to give you a hunger to hear the voice of God. So when you hear the voice of God, you go, that was really cool. I heard God speaking through that person. So the prophetic causes you to be hungry to hear for yourself. Because the prophetic is an equipping ministry. Equipping what? Equipping the saints for works of service, which means you need to be equipped by the prophetic to hear the voice of God so you can do the works of God and manifest the kingdom of God everywhere you go. Which reminds me, most of the wonderful things God is going to do will not be done in churches this year. They'll be done in your workplace. They'll be done in the street. They'll be done in Tim Hortons. They'll be done anywhere where you will pay attention and listen and loose the kingdom. We're going to see miracles, and we're going to come to church on Sunday just to talk about what he did out there. Thought I'd throw that in. I forgot about it. All right. So here we are, hearing. You ready? Here's just five things. There's so many more we can give you, but here's five right from Simeon. Right from this passage, I pulled them out. Pulled them out of this passage for you. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Here's what it says. He was just and devout. Here's somebody who was hearing. So here's somebody who was hearing. Let me be mentored by somebody who in a period of noise heard the word of God. How did he hear the word of God? Number one, the word of God tells us he was just and devout. Oh, so I got to make myself more holy. No, it's not about that. God has already made you holy. And what you need to hang on to is you need to lay hold of that truth and that reality and realize that God can speak to you because he has opened your ear. He loves you. He has made a way to you and nobody can shut the door. He is speaking to you and you need to embrace that truth just like Simeon did in his day. Number two. You got to have intimacy. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him. So you not only just, you don't want to just go, okay, God, I'm just going to step aside, just speak to me now. You know what? Don't just want to hear his voice. You got to learn to just want to be with him. You got to learn to spend time where you just enjoy his company. Okay, I've set some part aside where we can talk, okay? Here's my God appointment. I got some stuff I'd like you to do. You might have some stuff you'd like to do. So what do you want to do? Here's what I'd like to do. Let's cut a deal. No, it shouldn't be like that. It should be out of the outworking of your relationship with God. Your heart and his heart get all blended together. And suddenly what's on his heart is on your heart. And then suddenly your will and his will become the same. And it says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, it says that you will ask whatever you want and it shall be done for you. What? How does that happen? It's because you get so caught up in who he is and he gets so mixed up in you that you can't even tell the difference anymore. You ever seen a couple that, you know, you remember them 40 years ago and now you look at them and they look alike? They both have the same twitches. And you ever seen people who are single and they got a dog and them and the dog look alike? You know, it's funny. It's like they become, anyways, you know what I mean, truth and intimacy. Number three, you got to be available. Look what he says he was waiting for. And waiting is not, I'm waiting for God to change things. No, he was waiting. He was connecting. He was waiting. It's like he was serving the purpose of God in his day. It's like he was serving the table of God's purpose for that hour. He was ministering to the Lord and saying, I want to serve what you're doing. I want to engage in what you're doing. He was ministering to the Lord and serving God. He was waiting at the hands and the feet of God, beholding him. When you're in that place, you'll develop a greater capacity to hear. Number four, dependent. You got to be totally dependent on him. Says he went to the temple. How did he go to the temple? By camel. How did he go to the temple? With a Ford. No, it says he went to the temple by the Spirit. He woke up that day. The Holy Spirit said, there's a kid getting circumcised right now. His mom and his dad are with him. Get to the temple right now. I'll show you the Messiah. I'll show you the consolation of Israel. He did everything. He was completely dependent every day. Brushing his teeth. Stop. Go. Oh. I didn't brush my teeth completely today. Hallelujah. Because it's a crazy analogy, Pastor. I'm telling you, when you're so dependent on the Spirit, when he moves, you move. When he speaks, you speak. When he's quiet, you're quiet. A complete dependence on God. And number five, you know what? God's going to speak to you when you're obedient. You know, the Lord gave me a word. He told me to do something. I didn't do it. You know, I was just so scared. Didn't do it. Now I'm waiting on God for another word. You know, God will move on to the obedient people. It's not that they're more holy than you or more wonderful. They're just better stewards. You know, you got to be a good steward of the voice of God. And you know, when you're obedient to do what he tells you, there you're proving you're hearing. You see, Jesus heard, and he did. And it says because he was obedient, he had the Spirit of God upon him without measure. See, when you're obedient, that means you're engaging God. It means that you have totally submitted yourself, that your purpose is my purpose, and what you desire to do is what I desire to do. There's some basic ones right there, right out of that passage. I could go all through the Bible, start pulling out all kinds more. But right there, from a guy who heard God, from a guy in a noisy period, heard about the Savior, and he declared and prophesied into manifestation. He'd been praying for years and years and years for the manifestation of that child. He'd been interceding for that child to come forth when nobody else was praying about it. He was praying about it. But there's another lady right after named Anna, and Anna was a prophetess. And she'd been in the temple for years and years, a widow early in life. She'd been serving the Lord. She'd been prophesying for years the coming son. And then Anna showed up right after him and said, "This is it." But see, those two people, I'm sure there were more, but those two people prophesied in the birth of Christ. Well, Jesus would have come anyway. I think not. Why did the people get restored? Why were they released after 70 years? Because God said he was releasing them. Yes, God said it, but a man agreed with it. A man spoke it, and it came into manifestation. And even here, God is trying to show us, he's trying to tell us by adding these two people into the story of the birth of Christ. He's saying, these are the vehicles I use to bring into manifestation in the earthly realm my eternal purpose. And God's looking for people today who will be like that and bold enough, not just to say, "Lord, bless my Cheerios and help me through that day," but, "God, invade this earth with your power, your glory, your majesty, and get even more specific with me in Jesus' name." Okay. All right. There's a lot of sweat for me in that one, I tell you. Give me another slide. We're just about there. Say thank you, Jesus. What does 2014 look like for you? I don't know. I hope it's better than the last one. You know what? God has plans for you. God has a purpose for you. You can engage with him, and you can know every day of your life that I am in the center of his will. I'm doing what he called me to do. What does it look like for you? Another slide. Here it is. Here's another slide. God promises they must be activated by bold faith confessions. Isaiah 62, 1 to 7. Put the Lord in remembrance of his promises. Keep not silence. Well, if the Lord promised it, why does he want us to? I promise to bless you. Oh, thanks. That's awesome. You're a really cool God. No, now tell me, repeat that to me. What? Oh, okay. I promise to bless you. Oh, hey, thanks again for that. That's awesome. Repeat that to me. What? I promise to bless you. Repeat that to me. God, you have promised to bless me. You will bless me. You will prosper me. You will elevate me. You will lift me up. Good. There it is. See, because the word that returns is the word that gets activated. That's what it says in Isaiah 55. The word shall not return to me void. It's not the word that goes out that's powerful, although it is. It doesn't get activated until it's returned. How did it get activated in Mary's life? The word was spoken. It was powerful. She said, how's that going to happen? Said, the Lord's going to do it. Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Then what did she say? Let it be done according to your word. There was a manifestation. And I believe she had to say that. You have to say it. And that's why I love what it says there. It says, bring me in remembrance of my promises. Keep not silent. Well, I'm just going to be really quiet here. I'm not going to say anything. If God wants to heal me, he can. If he is who he says he is, do it. I'm believing. I've been here. I've been going for prayer 450 times. Do it. I'm healed. But I'm not. It says, declare those things that are not as though they were. It says, when you speak those things, it says you then get those things that you've spoken. You gotta speak. Your mouth is your address in the spirit realm, and your mouth is what calls into creation the purposes of God for your life. And we in 2014 are going to start praying January 1st, and we're going to declare some crazy things. And I hope you declare just stupid stuff. Because he says exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask or even imagine. How many could imagine? If you could imagine a year of years in your life, what would it look like? Imagine a year of years, the very best year. Imagine it. God says, I'm bigger than that. So let's, in this transition, let's prepare ourselves in the next few days. As we go into 2014, we're going to rip into this one full on. Well, I just like an average year myself, you know. The Lord wants to bless you more and more. The Lord wants to increase you. And he says, you know what? Dead people can't bring me glory. But people who are willing to say, I will, he will, and willing to agree with him, they can unpack the heavenly realm of all those wonderful promises, and they can manifest that I'm a good God. Does anybody want to unburden God of some blessing? Some of you, God's had a big hernia. Oh, yeah! I mean, he's carrying blessings for generations of people. God could never get a hernia, by the way. Anyways, pastor said, God got a hernia. My God. Yeah. But he does have, apparently, he does have warehouses full of unappropriated blessings. And how dumb is that? Not on his part, but ours. And as Billy Graham said, heaven is full of answers that no one asked about. There's an answer for you. You don't have to go on plotting, wondering what's next. There's an answer for you. And it's good. It's a year of an open door. It's a year where you can step beyond boundaries. It's not only that, not only an open door, but it's a year where you can leap over things and you can accelerate through things like you've never done before. Do you believe this? Come on, stand up with me. Oh, my God. Did you see that? The last time I looked at the clock, it was like 10 after 12. And I was like, man, I'm doing really good. How many hate it when I preach long like that? It's terrible stuff. Oh, I don't like it. Lord, I believe, Father, that you can help me. I believe you can get me into that 30-minute sermon. I believe you can do it. I believe it. I'm believing this year for you to do that for me, that we can pack that revelation in a way. Father, look, I'm going on again. Look at that. My God. Let's pray. You ready? Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Just really quick now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I'd love to lead you to Jesus. If you don't know him, listen right now. Just, and this can be really quick, but I want to give you the opportunity. All you got to do is put up your hand and say, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him as my Lord and Savior like you do. And if you don't know him, could you do something for me right now? Just right now. Just bang, put up your hand right now, and I can pray for you. Anyone, this side, middle, left, anyone. Please, I want to pray for you right now. I want to lead you to Jesus. Anyone? All right, I'm going to bless you folks right now. Let's do something in 2014. Let's bring people to church. Hey? Father, thank you for this house. Thank you for these saints. Thank you for the amazing year of 2013. Thank you for the promises that we already know. Thank you for your word to us today. It's not by might or by power. It's by your spirit. Thank you for the words to take our gifts now. Fan them into flame. Don't shrink back. This is a year where we're gonna push boundaries. We're going to push things. We're going to see obstacles destroyed. We're going to see great victories. This is a year where you're asking us, get your ear tuned to me. Put your ear to the ground. I'm going to do new things. And you need to be hearing because you're going to hear things. And I'm going to call on you to do things. Things you've never seen before or heard of before. But listen to me. And I will perform these things. And I will reveal myself. So, Lord, you've spoken to us clearly today. You've spoken to us over the years, many wonderful promises about us individually and corporately as a people. And we believe that this is a constant unfolding. We embrace the leap year. We embrace the acceleration. We embrace that this is a year to behold and perceive and to go through the open door. And so, Father, we believe that, we receive that, and each of us embrace it now. So be glorified in Impact Church. Be glorified in all those we love. Be glorified in our movement. Be glorified in all that we say and do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.